Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
Just bring it on, man, Jason Jones.
But I do want to say this because, and like I said, I'm not trying to cape for the front office, but I'm the same person that thought they had enough to win 52 games was the floor. I can say that I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. And people talk about the front office all the time, and they didn't do this, they didn't do that. Bro, we were here. We were here. We were sitting in these seats. We were taking these calls. We were having interviews. None of you were trading Keegan Murray. Mm-hmm. Not one of you.
Why are you yelling at me?
I'm not yelling at, but I'm saying, like, we got to be real with ourselves, TC. Like, none of you were. So, oh, you didn't go out and get better. You didn't have a plan. You didn't go get this person. Keegan Murray was the one that was going to get you there. It was going to get you Siakam. It was going to get you OG. And all of you said no.
That's a little unfair.
Except me. I said if it's an impact guy, you got to trade him.
Jason Jones said F Keegan Murray.
I'm just saying, I mean, hey, that was just my thought. I was like, I didn't know who that player would be, but I said if it was going to be a difference maker, like a guy who kept you in the top four in the West, top three, you trade Keegan expeditiously.
I understand.
To me, that was with the idea that your two best players are Fox and Sabonis, and you're getting a third legit, like, big-time guy to go with him, those two.
And
obviously, things are a lot different now, but that was my thinking for the last couple of years, that if you can get, like, a all-star, you know, it's nice knowing you, Keegan, but, you know, hey.
And I understand that, and I'm here to tell you I was hesitant to trade Keegan. I was one of the people like, nah, I don't want to do the contract where he's at, where I think he could be. Nah, I'm not sure. Like, that was the consensus. I'm not going to say there was everybody in, but that was the consensus. Nah, I don't want to trade Keegan. He's this great two-way player, all this other stuff. And Dame, one of the things you would know, it's not for every potential situation, but damn near all of them, Keegan was the one that had to go. That's who was being asked for. And everybody, so when they're like, you didn't go out and get this person, how you guys can't have it both ways. You can't say you didn't go out and get this person, but the person that was going to get you who you wanted, you didn't want to trade. And then when you don't do it and Keegan don't develop the way you thought it would or things don't work out, these guys just suck. Like, you guys, to me,
forgot.
People be talking on both sides of their mouth.
What was this in response to?
Oh, Matt George.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I didn't know what I walked into.
I don't even know how we got here.
I mentioned that because I said Matt George was like, no, stop. And they were like, yeah, preach. Don't give them no passes, the front office and all this other stuff.
And I was like,
we got to be real. Like, you can't say you want it. For what you guys wanted, it was going to take Keegan more times than not. And you guys said you didn't want to trade him. So I know it's on brand right now, and it's fashionable to blame the front office, but how are you going to blame them for moves that you wouldn't even have done? That's all I'm saying.
They're going to say, well, they should know better. Why they listen to us?
No, there's that. Proper introduction. Jason Jones from The Athletic is with us. Just yelling about the Kings and Keegan Murray.
Everyone loves potential. Potential is the biggest, like, finesser in all of sports. Like, what he could be. And like I said, it was, to me, when I watched Keegan the first couple of years, I saw a good player. I did not see a superstar, which is why I was like, if you can get a star from him, you trade him. But, you know, I understood, because my thinking was off of this. If you're going to have De'Aaron as a max player and essentially Sabonis as a max player, how comfortable would you be in a year or whatever, two, whatever it was going to be, making Keegan Murray a max player? And if he's not that, you have to at least. I just didn't buy the notion that Keegan Murray should be untouchable. And I think a lot of people were like, he's not untouchable. Mm-hmm. That's not, you know, that's not like young Ant Edwards or, you know, that's not Jason Tatum right there as a young, you know, I'm like, he's not untouchable. Mm-hmm. And I think there was a large group of people who were very vocal that Keegan Murray should be untouchable. And to me, that was where I always thought it was weird. Like, what are y'all seeing that I'm missing where you can't trade him to get better?
I think there's a lot of it's and you said it. You said it perfectly. It's why football fans are really hyped right now. It's free agency. This is going to happen at draft time. It's the potential of what your team can be. It's why people get excited about, you know, draft prospects. It's the potential. The trade deadlines, same thing. What would so-and-so potentially look like? What sort of potential could he have as a wing who could defend on Sacramento? Oh, my God. That's all we talk about in those times of year, and that's what so many people, like, hang their hope on. I think that's what the front office was hanging their hope on, potential. Mm-hmm. We see growth in Keegan Murray. You know, you talk about OG Anunoby, you talk about Pascal Siakam and whatever those discussions look like, both of them would have had to have ended in massive contract extensions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but we kind of like Keegan. We like the direction he's going. I don't think this is a move we can make. We're more confident in our young fella. That just hasn't – Keegan's good. It just, I don't know that it's paid off in the way that they expected yet, especially going into potential contract negotiations. But he regularly shows signs of, like, yeah, Keegan's he has qualities to him that this team desperately needs.
Yeah, and it may end up helping them in the long run because he may, you know, I wouldn't max him out, but maybe you can sign him to a 4-year deal that's a little bit more manageable and give you a little more flexibility.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it may help him in the long run, but, you know, like I said, my whole thing was just that I didn't feel like he should be an untouchable player. Like, it was like, oh, the idea. I mean, for God's sake, De'Aaron got traded. If De'Aaron can get traded, you know, Keegan could have gotten traded. I mean, and De'Aaron was further along, you know, obviously in his career at this point. But I'm just saying, and, you know, to me, I just didn't understand the whole we can't, you know, there's no way that guy can, you know, get moved. I'm like, yeah, you can. It's possible. You know, for the right move. I mean, we've seen a lot of guys get traded. I mean, for God's sake, Wilt Chamberlain got traded. Kareem got traded. Shaq got – anybody can get traded.
Hmm. Yeah, this is fact.
Luka got traded. I'm not sure if you heard this, James. Jason.
Well, I've heard a little bit about that. I'm not sure how that's turning out for them, though. I'm not sure what that, you know. Dallas is struggling right now.
Looks a little different without the King out there, though.
Yeah, Luka just cursing out people on the baseline.
Well, yeah, when you're down three starters, it is a little different. Well.
Hey, what did you – are we willing to – and I don't – I think you got some jokes off. You did get some jokes off. Are we collective in our acknowledgement that J.J. Redick's a good coach?
I am.
Okay.
Like I said, I had always heard that he could be a good coach. Mm-hmm. I did not like the fact that he had a podcast with the team's number one player, and it just looked crazy. Mm-hmm. But he can coach. Mm-hmm. He's a little diabolical, which is what, you know. So I know. Oh, yeah. I mean, I know folks will be hesitant to give, you know, a Laker coach credit, but, you know, JJ's coaching. And I always said, even in past years, when you had a LeBron and AD, there was no reason for you to be playing in the play-in every year.
Mm-hmm.
That made zero sense to me. I don't care how flawed the roster is. You know, at the worst, you got two of the top 15 players in the league, and you're seventh. Mm. They were never that bad. Yeah. Like, were they a title team? No, but they should not have been, you know, having to beat New Orleans to get into the playoffs last year. So I felt they had a major coaching deficit, as we've chronicled, you know. I think you got to give JJ his props. I mean,
yeah.
They've played over the, you know, the way he's gotten them to buy in on defense, you know, the way he holds them accountable, you know, because he's based on the third iteration of this team now, just this year. And they've gotten better over the course of the year as opposed to getting worse, you know, with all the trades and, I mean, pretty disruptive, you know, to trade, you know, you look at their starting lineup from night one to where it is now. I mean, AD's gone, D'Lo's gone, you know, and then you kind of just reflip this whole roster. You go from Jackson Hayes was a guy who couldn't get on the court. Now he's got to be your starting center. And somehow, you know, Jackson missed a couple of games now, but he's made that work as opposed to, when we get this guy back, when we get that guy back, he's making it work, even though they laid an egg last night. Still, where they are overall in the last, 6-8 weeks, I think, you got to give JJ his props.
Yeah, he's a good coach, man. He's doing his thing. He's absolutely doing his thing. I want to ask you a question about the Kings and kind of what they got going on. So you saw what happened on Sunday night, just a heartbreaker at the Intuit Dome. 24 hours later, you get beat up by the Knicks. Are they related at all? Like, do you think because of, in part, not completely, tied together, but in part, having that overtime, tough emotional loss on Sunday set them up for a position where, at the very least, what happened on Monday wasn't surprising? Do you think they're kind of related in a way?
I think so. You got a few things to me in play. You got the 3 games in 4 nights. Yeah, Friday, Sunday, Monday. You've got Friday was an emotional game. Then you go down to LA, lose in overtime, emotional game. And then you come back because the Knicks didn't play on Sunday, did they?
No, they were at the Sawyer.
And that's always a trap when you're the team sitting at home, sitting in someone's city, waiting for them to come back home. You play overtime. They're rested. They've been chilling, watching. Yeah, that's always a tricky situation. So I think all that plays into it. And then, you get what you got last night. So, it's maybe the final score might have been kind of like a wow, but the fact they would lose that game to me is not crazy. You add all that emotion, how draining that can be, and then you got Twitter doing random investigations over who's mad at who and who's talking to who on the court side. And, all that stuff comes together. And then, and even without Brunson, the Knicks have some good players. Mm-hmm. So, but you're a Knicks fan too, right? So you should.
Relax. I'm a Knicks supporter. Oh. I'm not a Knicks fan.
Hey, how are you a Lakers, Knicks, and Kings guy?
I don't have anything to do with the Lakers. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I don't have anything to do with them. Now, the Kings are my number one.
Throw Draymond in there. You just, front running.
Will you stop it? The Kings are my number one. I support the Knicks when they're not playing the Kings. I support them. Mm-hmm. That's all it is.
And the Lakers, you just go to their parades.
No, I don't go to their parades at all. I don't like the Lakers at all.
He just poses in front of Laker monuments.
Jason, I wish you guys would stop
with
this
narrative.
Who's been
to more championship parades for the Los Angeles Lakers? Jason or you?
Oh, definitely Kenny. I've never been to one.
What are you talking about? I've never been to one myself.
Wow. You didn't tell a story about being in a championship parade?
That was not the Lakers championship parade.
What was it?
That was a hood parade.
Were they celebrating the hood or were they celebrating a Lakers championship?
They were celebrating the Lakers.
You were
the hood.
At a Lakers championship parade.
It was like at
then.
10 o'clock at night.
I wasn't there. I
it was like at
10 no
o'clock
invite.
At night. I took a wrong turn, and that's where I ended up
and
being.
And you wound up in a Laker parade.
You got out the car and partied with him. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
No, you more didn't get out the car at all.
Laker Nation than I am. Look at this, man. I'm hurt, man.
He told the story. He's honking the horn and going, Lake show.
Hey, look, man, I was right off the 10.
They gave him right a car flag and everything.
I had no car flag, but like I said, I was right off the 10. I was over there by SC. I just had to get out of there.
So he had to be a Laker fan. Wow, sold his soul.
I wasn't a fan. I just had to get out of there.
Sold his soul to the Crips, man. Goodness gracious. Wow, Jason never did it, but.
Yeah, man, yeah. And I'm born in LA.
You never went to a Laker parade?
No, I was I was a kid in the 80s, and then I lived up here from 96 on. Mm. So, as much as I can be a big fan or whatever, I'm in no way interested in spending money to go stand in a crowd when I can just that's never been something I'm like, my bucket list things to do was to go to the parade.
Mm. What NBA superstar do you think could benefit the most? Like a guy who's already a star, what NBA star do you think could hit a different level if they have a big postseason run this year?
That's a good one. You look around. Because there's different factors into that. I think
we had a couple. I'll give you a couple examples we had. One was Cade Cunningham. Cade Cunningham having a big outing in Detroit could up him up a tier and give Detroit obviously a lot of a lot of respect. And then on a different, you know, plane is Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell and Cleveland wind up pulling this thing out. Man, they could wind up, like, Donovan starts to, Donovan becomes verified. I don't think he's considered, like, on the Dame Lillard tier yet. I think people talk about him a notch below.
Cleveland gets to the finals. Donovan Mitchell's there. I mean, even though he probably would be, they're talking about Donovan Mitchell Hall of Famer.
Mm.
I think Donovan's been good for a while, but in terms of the postseason, he's, you know, I think, you know, the best seasons they, you know, it wasn't all on him, but was that year they won 61 games, and that's when Ty Lue decided to make Rudy Gobert defend the corner three, and he just would not leave the paint, and they lost that series.
That's when he really playoff P. Paul George led him to the conference finals.
Yeah, man, that was the, you know, he's out there getting booed on Monday Night Raw now, but hey. Or was that SmackDown he got booed? That was sad. But I think, I'm thinking, you know, because, I mean, some of it, I think, that's a good one. I'm just trying to go through who's, you know, who. I think in some ways Shea could, because I still think a lot of people don't really know a lot about Shea.
Yeah.
And if, you know, then even last year they lost in the second round. If they make a deep run, it's going to be because he's averaging like 35 a game. And I think that could be a thing that could, you know, elevate him where you go beyond known by the basketball heads to known by everybody. I know basketball folks have known about Shea for years, but I'm walking down the street to, you know, casual person. You mentioned Shea Gilgeous Alexander. They're like, who? So I could see that, but I think Donovan's a good one.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Probably along them lines, Mobley could, you know, would probably take a big leap. Because, I mean, like, you know, guys like Mobley and Cunningham are all-stars. But, I mean, this year's all-star game, do you even remember who made the team? I mean, it was such a weird format, so it's like, you were an all-star, but who really remembers? But I think those guys could benefit greatly. I'm trying to think about somebody in the West. I mean, you could fit Shea, and you start going down. I think Ja Morant could help reshape his image.
Good one.
That, I mean, you know, kind of like a redemption story. Remember, you know, he wasn't there last year, all that. I think that could, because, I mean, we haven't talked a lot about Ja this season, and that's probably good. Because for the last 2 years, talking about Ja normally meant Instagram and a weapon.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, this year
involves him being on the bench and injured.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that's probably still better than, I guess, the alternative. But then if you go to the easy, lazy way, if the Lakers or the Knicks make a run, someone on that team is going to become way more value than they actually are, probably. Then some team is going to pay them a whole lot of money. It's going to be that effect of like, wow, you saw what he did as a Knick? You know, so that could easily happen on one of those two teams.
I put Cat in that category. If they were to make a conference finals or an NBA finals, I know people look at Brunson as being the guy, but it may be one of those situations where they look at it and they say, hey, Cat came here. He averaged 25 and 13 in these playoffs, and he's the one that elevates you and puts you over the top.
Cat's just funny, though, too, I think. Yeah, you know, the way his voice changes so much.
Oh, my God, call the foul!
I was watching them. They played the Lakers. I told someone, I said, every time Cat is in the post, it looks like he says ouch when someone hits him. The way he just contorts his body. He's like, ah! Like, he's just like, I could honestly hear him saying ouch. Like, ouch, stop it.
Yeah.
You know, But Cat would all of a sudden become the best, the greatest center since Willis Reed if they got to the finals. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, they'd try to put him past Pat Ewing.
They would. They definitely would.
I know you'd fight that vehemently.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, it's oddly enough, I didn't like the Knicks at that time because they was going against my boy Mike. But looking back, you know, I like those Pat Riley Knicks. I like those Knicks.
Yeah, they just out there. Imagine that trying to fly in 2025, them Pat Riley Knicks.
Man.
It would.
Whole team suspended.
I got to update Jason, though. Cal, Virginia Tech, first round of the ACC tournament. They're going to overtime. after Cal went scoreless for the final 3:10 of the game to lose a 6-point lead. They're going overtime.
What are they, the Kings or something?
Go Bears. Still go Bears.
Can I point out the ridiculousness of the sentence you just uttered?
What's that?
Virginia Tech in the ACC tournament.
It is very ridiculous. Very ridiculous.
Yeah, my girl went to go. She went to like this UCLA gymnastics thing against Stanford, and she was completely confused because she was like, "This is not a Pac-12. This is like the Big Ten against." I said, "No, Stanford's in the ACC."
Mm-hmm.
She's like, "Why?" I'm like, "None of us know why. This is what it is.
Because everyone is stupid." That's why. And greedy.
I think the Cal women's team was like on their fourth cross country trip of the season.
That's crazy.
I can imagine what their record might be if they'd have to go all the way to the East Coast four or five times a year.
I remember Pat Cronin was like complaining about like the road trips, like being in the Big Ten. He's like, yeah, we go on the cross country road trips. Like we got to go to New Jersey and Maryland and all this other stuff. Those guys go cross country to come to LA. Like that's not a penalty. That's not anything you got to deal with. Like,
and they don't have to do it multiple times.
Yeah.
It's not like UCLA at SC. Well, then SC deserves it because they asked for this, you know, but they don't do like a 6-game college road trip where you just go, you know, Wisconsin, Michigan, Michigan State, Northwestern, Illinois, and come home. You know, that's wild.
Oh man, yeah, I hate this.
It's really killed my interest because I'm just like, I mean, as cool as it sounds, I really don't care to get all amped up for my school playing in the ACC. Like, they'll play. You know, they play Duke and North Carolina, but I don't really care about them playing Wake Forest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tim Duncan's not there. So I don't really care.
Randolph Childress is not there. He's not walking through those doors.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
More impactful trade to close out this NBA season. Just this season, not the future. Luka Doncic and the Lakers, Jimmy Butler and the Warriors.
This season, I'm going to say Jimmy. Because I think that team was going to miss the playoffs without Jimmy.
Mm.
I think they were a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
So so not so much who's the better team, but in terms of I thought the Warriors were just not a good team. I just felt like they got off to a good start and they just kind of leveled off to what they actually were, which was going to be a 9-10, you know, play-in team. So I'll go with that. Also, you add to the fact that Kuminga was out. So he just steps in. I don't know what they're going to do with Kuminga. Of course, he's coming back against the Kings, you know, because, you know.
For sure. Wow.
You know, I would just lean to – because I think the Lakers, even without the trade, were going to be in the top four probably. Hmm. You know, top. They're okay. Going to – because that's where they kind of were already. Hmm. But I think the Warriors, you know, they are going to make the playoffs almost for sure now, you know, with the addition of Jimmy, you know. Because even if they – I think even if they somehow end up in seven – I think they're not going to lose back to back games with, you know, with Jimmy and Steph in a play in situation.
Yeah, I think Jimmy's impact has just energized that team. Like obviously what he's doing defensively, and he has some numbers to that. But I mean, Steph and those guys, they feel like they have a shot every night because they got a guy like Jimmy out there, as opposed to what was going on before. Do you look at them as a championship contender?
No.
Mm.
No.
I'm with you.
No.
I don't.
I mean, if they were to play a 7-game series, I would take OKC over them in a series. Even though it's tricky because Steph is still Steph. For you know, he to me that's the biggest guy who got re-energized. You know, he's still Steph.
Yeah.
But for me to go all the way to championship. That's still – I can't go championship just at this point, you know. But Steph is, you know, still Steph. We'll see how they work Kuminga back in. But, you know, would they say beat, you know – there'll be a tough out. But, you know, I'm thinking if Minnesota is healthy, I think Minnesota would beat them in a series.
I think
OKC could beat them in a series. I think the Lakers could beat them in a series. So I think I can't go championship just yet, but it's still scary, though, because I wouldn't want to draw Steph in the first round the way he's been playing. Man's taking 35-foot turnaround jump threes.
Yeah,
I would want no parts of that right now.
I'm just ready for him to retire.
I think a lot of people, I'm like, dude, you're 30.
A lot of fan bases are. A lot of fan bases are fed up.
You've won championships. You've got a wonderful family. Go spend time with your wife and kids. Why do you want to keep playing basketball?
Yeah, why do this?
You don't need the money, Steph. You know, just go ahead and enjoy your life.
The money, Steph, you don't need the headache. Like, you don't need to deal with Draymond. Go relax.
Yeah, you don't want to do this anymore, Steph. Yeah.
On top of that,
live life, you know. Go work at Davidson, do what you're doing, you know.
General manager.
Help the Howard Golf. You know, you got a lot of outside ventures at this point, Steph. You don't need basketball.
Yeah.
That would be my message to Steph Curry if I was, you know, not a Warrior fan.
And on top of that, leave $300 million on the table. Who needs
it? Yeah, I mean, he doesn't need it. You know me, I'm one to make sure to tell people how much money they need. So, yeah, Steph, what do you need that money for? Go ahead. You got generational wealth. Your brother played in the NBA. Your dad did. You guys aren't broke.
What did we clock him at? Like, he gonna get like 70 million?
Yeah, I think so. So, a year? I thought it was like 75.
Was it 75?
Yeah,
it's something crazy.
Like, I think the last year of his deal, like, brushes the 80.
That's probably what it was.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and retire, Steph. No one, you don't deserve this headache. You don't want to travel anymore.
Steph gonna make more money than Michael Jordan did in his career, like his last year in the league.
These contract numbers going to get crazier and crazier. And, you know, it's like you're going to have more old players complaining about what these guys have. You know,
didn't Mike sign 1 year for $30 million?
Yeah,
am I making
like
that up?
Yeah.
I thought it was like 32.
I think the way it worked out, he made all his like big money like in the last 2 or 3 years.
Right.
Yeah, because, you know, he was the greatest bargain in sports history.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's almost criminal. What they between that and that crazy like 6 year, third, whatever they gave Pippen, they jacked Pippen, locked him up in that dang near like a mid level exception type deal. I respect the gangster of the Bulls. They straight was like, we gonna give Scotty like $3 million a year.
He gave Scotty the bet men.
He got the equivalent of new editions record deal.
Yeah, but Scotty looking around and watching all these other guys just get paid, and he's like, I got like 9 years left on this deal though.
And Scotty signed a lifetime contract with the
cool part about it was they didn't trick him.
Well,
they offered him the contract, and he said, sure, I'll sign it. All right, Scotty.
And we wonder why Scotty went broke. Scotty didn't go broke because he blew his money. Scotty got broke because he didn't have any money.
Scotty hitting up Scott Pippen Jr. like, hey, man, let me hold something, man.
Didn't Scotty sign a $100 million deal with Portland?
No.
80,
it 50, wasn't 100. Hey, he's the one
Scotty
of the guys who got
is 66.
66.
At the end.
Scotty. Is this right? Scotty played 13 years with the Chicago Bulls. I don't know why I'm laughing. Like, I can even, like, imagine what having this much money is like. Scotty played 13 years for the Chicago Bulls and made $32 million.
Wow. Wow.
In his career.
Oh, poor Scotty.
We could do it now. In his career, 18 years for Scotty Pippen. Any unofficial guesses? Unofficial.
93.
Unofficial guesses here. 18 years. Jesse, how much? Scottie Pippen, 18 years.
I'll go like 110.
Unofficial. Jason Jones, 18 years for Scottie Pippen.
60 mil.
Ladies and gentlemen, $109.9 million.
I just threw that one to the wind.
Jesse's on a roll right now.
No, he ain't on no roll. I just threw that
one. He missed it by like 500,000.
I just shot a half-court shot because like,
He actually missed it by 43,000. Man.
Yeah, he got all that from Portland probably.
He did. He got $66.3 million from Portland. Yeah, he got $11 million with Houston.
He made up for it after, you know, the Bulls got him, you know, on a hometown, like, discount times 10.
What, Larsa running around on the Potomac, the poorest one out there. Is it Potomac? They, I don't know which one she's
that was on. One, that was one of the greatest parts of The Last Dance. So they were like, we Scotty mad, but we tell him to sign that contract.
They did me dirty. Like,
we don't know why he did it.
They did me dirty. Did he just offered the contract.
Bro, that's your name, right? Like they're holding up the contract. Scotty Pippen.
I'm like, I don't know who his agent was.
Yeah, that's what I was just wondering the same thing.
I'm like, didn't anyone have the foresight to go, you know what, Scotty? They like literally paid him like he was just another guy on the team.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, you know, we got to go make sure, you know, yeah, that's one of the going to be go down as one of the wildest contract things ever. Like certifiably top 75 player in NBA history on one of the, on a team friendly deal so they can go get Tony Kukoc.
Mike made $60 million, $63 million in his last 2 years with Chicago.
Ooh.
$30 million and $33.1 million. So $60 million in his last two. That leaves 13 years that made Mike about $33 million. Wow.
No, well, man. Times, you know, we all have our struggles, you know. Say it is what it is. That's okay. I'm enjoying this narrative that the Niners are getting rid of everybody to give Brock Purdy like $900 million. My favorite thing to read.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. Would you read something else? Because you just asked me. They're getting rid of him because all these guys are washed.
Whatever. I don't care about facts when it's Niner tears involved. I don't care about facts. I just like I'm enjoying the laughing.
We got all of
we can't cut Jake Moody.
Oh, now that angers me.
That's my favorite one. You're cutting everybody except Moody.
That pisses me off.
Jay, we appreciate you as always, my friend. Oh, real quick, are you Geno Smith? We hyped Geno.
Thumbs down.
It's a thumbs up because did you see who they had playing quarterback last couple of years?
No, that's a good point. It's a good point.
I mean, at least he can like function and like move and you know maybe the you know yeah yeah I'm not mad at all. You basically traded Devontae Adams for him. Good point. Because you used that Jets pick. So yeah. It's like, yeah, I can dig it. You know, I don't like them losing some of the guys they lost on defense. But, you know, hey, you know, if they won four games last year, who am I? I'm not fooling myself.
Jay, we appreciate you as always, my friend.
All right, y'all. Take it easy.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.